Hey everybody, this is Sophie. This is Boo Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
So, what's going on with you?
So here we are.
It's
summer. Mm-hmm. I'm just spending a lot of time sitting around in the air conditioning right now. It's so hot. And it's supposedly the heat was supposed to break a little bit this week, but I have not really felt that happen.
So, and you had some air conditioning issues, didn't you, yesterday?
Yeah, we did have some people out. We, you know, we got a new AC. We have two AC units in our house. I don't know why. We just do. And so they came out yesterday because the one in the bedroom, which is the most critical of the AC units, didn't seem to be cooling quite right. And so they said it looked like it was not totally full of refrigerant. But they think it may have not been. Because we did kind of complain that it wasn't cooling. Because, you know, in Texas, we had to call and have them come look at it in November, too.
Right.
Because it was hot. And so they think now. So anyway, I will say that last night, it was freezing cold. So I was super happy in our house. So, like, I had to get another blanket. It was so cold.
Praise the Lord.
I know. So I was super happy about that turn of events. So it appears that our air conditioning was. And they didn't charge us anything because it's still under warranty, which is even better.
I mean, really, it's the best of all worlds.
Yeah, it is the best of all worlds.
No money, so, colder house.
That's exactly right. Well, and compared to, I think we remember last week's podcast that my car was in the shop getting repaired, and it's still there getting repaired. And so really, the air conditioning scenario worked out a lot better than my car.
I'm real sorry about your car.
It's fine. I'm not as sorry. You know, I've told you, so I've got this rental or a loaner from the dealership, which is great, except you can't put dogs in it.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's like a $500 fee. So I can't transport Piper and Mabel anywhere to burn off their energy, which is really the worst part of all of it.
You know what just occurred to me when you said that was that I would accept that restriction at this stage in my life. And I would say, there's no way I'm going to put dogs in this car because I don't want to pay them $500.
Mm-hmm.
But I just flash back real quickly, like in my early 20s, I'd have been convinced I could find a loophole around that.
Oh, yeah. And don't think, I mean, like now that we're in like day six of this whole deal, like I really thought maybe if I put down beach towels all over the back,
sure,
I won't get dog hair and whatever. But I'm like, that just feels like too big of a risk to take. Because I'm like, because then it, like, worst case is that the dogs will destroy everything and then I'll have to go take it to like get all cleaned and detailed.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't, or, you know, you'll have some like super enthusiastic person who inspects the car when you return it, like finds a dog hair with some tweezers and you're busted.
Exactly. A forensics. It's like CSI, you know?
Okay. So we had a big development in our house yesterday and I have not even told you about this yesterday.
What?
I mean, told you
what?
About this yet. We went back to a regular coffee pot.
No, really?
Yes.
Why?
Well, it was a couple of things.
Like a coffee pot, or like what do you have going?
Like, I mean, we just got like a you know, like an old school coffee pot, like a, I don't know, like a Cuisinart coffee, not a Keurig. You know, I think we're gonna retire the Keurig.
Okay.
Here's what happened. We went, you know, we were at the beach last week, and my brother-in-law and sister-in-law have just an old school coffee pot at the beach.
Uh-huh.
And the first night I was there, I went to the grocery store. I just picked up, just kind of on the fly. Because I don't know if you feel this way. I feel like it took me a long time with the Keurig to find a coffee that I felt like was a delicious coffee for every morning. Because, like, I'm very particular about, I like a bold coffee. I like, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
So, we've gotten this Newman's Own coffee from Costco for pretty much the duration we've had it. And it's good. At the beach, I went to the store, I picked up a bag of Starbucks Colombian.
Yes.
Came home, got up the next morning, made the coffee, and I'm not kidding you. I mean, like, I could have been a commercial. At that point, David was not even down there, and I was like, out loud, this is delicious. There has never been coffee this delicious. This is a whole new day. I mean, like, I was so carried away with that coffee.
Okay.
When David got to the beach a couple of days later, I said, hey, when you make coffee in the morning, because I knew he'd be up first, I told him the ratio I had used of coffee to water. I said, just try it, and I want to know what you think. Well, when I woke up, he was like, this is the best coffee I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
I don't know. And I said, I think we need to get a coffee pot. I think we need to go back to the coffee pot, even if we just keep one on standby or whatever. But it just tasted better. I don't know. Maybe it was just that it was so different.
Yes.
And so he went yesterday. He got us a new coffee pot. I'm going to take the Keurig to work. And we're going to go old school for a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, I like my Keurig because I just like the simplicity of it.
That is nice. It's delightful. Yes.
Yeah. And I don't think I'm enough of a coffee connoisseur. Like coffee, now I will say, I'm not going to go so far to say that coffee is just coffee. But I'm saying I could be one of those people in a restaurant where they said, we have replaced Melanie Schenkel's normal coffee with Folgers, whatever. And I wouldn't necessarily know the difference. Right. You know what I mean? Like, now at Starbucks, I have my favorites, but I'm not a coffee. To me, I'm like, yeah, it all tastes like coffee.
Okay, so what kind of do you buy the same kind of pods for your Keurig every time, or do you mix it up?
No, we always buy Starbucks House Blend what we use.
Okay,
that's what we use, and some people say Starbucks is too bitter for them or whatever. But see, I think I was so lulled into. Remember, for a long time, I used to drink Chaffee.
Yes.
Remember? Because I was super sophisticated, which is, for those of you who don't know, that's half hot chocolate, half coffee. And so I used to drink that, and then slowly it became solid coffee. But I barely, sometimes I don't even finish a cup of coffee in the morning. So I'm just not a real, I like it, and I like having it. And on winter mornings, I really enjoy it. But I just don't think I'm a super, like, a big coffee aficionado.
Okay. I appreciate the use of aficionado in a sentence, by the way.
Well, so that is, but I will say that I went to Starbucks the other day with Caroline, and I got their iced caramel macchiato, and it was some kind of delicious.
It was? I've never had that.
It was so good. I can't even tell you. I thought it was delicious. So,
okay,
so
it was an iced, I'm going to write this down, an iced, you say
caramel.
You say caramel. I say caramel.
Okay, an iced caramel macchiato.
Okay, what does that mean? Do you know what that means?
I don't know what it means. Okay. It tasted kind of like a coffee, like kind of a sweet coffee caramely-ish drink.
Yum.
Yeah. It kind of tasted like some sort of frappuccino, but it was just over ice instead of like all blended up.
Now, do you find with an iced coffee, because you know I'm very specific about my ice to drink ratios. Like, you know, I can be real high maintenance with my ice.
Yes. Yeah. I don't like, and I before had always thought I wouldn't really care for an iced coffee. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference is if I'm going to have something iced like that, it's got to be like sweet. Like my normal coffee, like hot coffee in the morning, I don't like it super sweet.
So did you feel like the ice stayed put long enough or did it get watered down?
Felt like the ice stayed put long enough. Okay. I felt like it stayed cold good enough. And they've got another one now. They've got a couple of different iced coffee drinks because then Caroline got one the other day that was like a vanilla sweet cream and it was delicious.
Yum.
Yeah. So, and then we've started buying, she likes that, you know, you can buy the refrigerated like iced espresso, like the mochas and stuff.
Yes.
And so she drinks that in the morning. So we keep that and she has herself an iced cafe mocha in the morning.
It's very sophisticated, Caroline.
Well, she's almost 13, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, she's almost 13. She enjoys a coffee beverage. So, anyway, that's. So, but it's good. I like it too. But in the morning, I like hot coffee. That would be more of an afternoon drink. And then I'm not going to have that much caffeine in the afternoon.
Right. Well, I'll let you know how this coffee pot experiment goes. Well, one reason why it's kind of appealing to me is because David gets up earlier. So he'll make the coffee.
Yeah.
I'll just, you know, we'll see how it goes. If it becomes tedious or to make the coffee, or if we're suddenly like, well, this is, you know.
Yeah,
this is the only way to do this thing.
Yeah, yeah, I know. And I think that's Perry and I, we would be at such different, especially in the summer, because he would get up and have a pot of coffee at like 6 o'clock in the morning. And then when I roll out of bed at 10,
sure.
That coffee wouldn't be as fresh.
No, it might have formed into some sort of solid by that point.
It would be like, remember like I don't know, of course you were a teacher, so you would have, but it'd be like that break room coffee, you know, that's been sitting there percolating for hours. So, and even the smell when you walk in and it's like kind of that burnt coffee smell.
The word burned comes to mind. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. With the mix of whatever, like when I think of an office break room, and then it's also whatever somebody has recently cooked in the microwave.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a whole thing about microwave smells. Like I really,
ugh.
I don't, no ma'am.
No, I know. That's, you know, Caroline, they had a microwave in their school cafeteria, and she told me she absolutely could not use that microwave because it's disgusting because people put stuff in there. Which you can imagine, a bunch of junior hires microwave and stuff.
Okay. No, no, ma'am. I can't, like, I haven't, there's something about a microwave that
I agree.
Something else. What you said about the smells just now, I meant to tell you this yesterday and I forgot, but I got Alex's lacrosse pads and all that equipment the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And I put them in vinegar and water. Ugh. Like I did a big vinegar soak.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I took them out. And then I did another vinegar soak.
Mm.
And then I just flat out washed them. I thought if they tear up and fly into 1,000 pieces, then so be it. But we got to, you know. But I will say, after I washed everything and gave it time to dry and all that, I felt like we were back in the range of being like a...
Okay. Acceptable.
Acceptable fragrance.
Okay.
Situation.
Okay. Ugh. Golly, okay. I know. Just stink. Mm-hmm. I know. We're airing out some soccer cleats right now because they're not getting used for several days.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good.
Somebody told me that the key is with those cleats and stuff is to get like a boot dryer and to put the cleats after they're put them on the boot dryer because it dries them out and then because the smell is from all the dampness.
Well. Do you think I mean, I guess I could probably find a boot dryer on Amazon.
Yeah, they have them on Amazon. Okay. I bought one for Perry like a couple of Christmases ago, and he took it back because he said he didn't need a boot dryer. He has one. It's called an oscillating fan that's in the room. And so he just lays his boots on the floor in front of that fan and lets it blow. But I really don't think, in spite of what he says, I don't feel like that's as effective as an actual boot dryer.
Yeah. You know, somebody left a comment. This was on the blog. No, not the podcast Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
That they would love for us to have our husbands on the podcast at some point.
No, you wouldn't.
And I thought, no, I don't know that you would. I don't know that you would.
No, it'd be a lot of opinions.
Listen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't even know what that would be.
I would say it'd be a lot of absolute stances on some things.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah, for sure. Like an authority on a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't really think that'd be in anybody's best interest.
It might be funny, but...
Yeah, it might be.
Until the laughter stopped.
I was going to say, it's funny till it's not. And then it's like, well... Oh God!
They're both in their own ways. They like they're a mess. And I don't mean that like I just mean they're a mess. They're a couple of characters.
Yeah, yeah. Like I mean, I feel like there are times like being married to Perry that like I sympathize with like Donald Trump's campaign manager. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well,
where it's a little bit like what he meant to say was the way he. What he's trying to say was...
Where you feel like maybe you need to translate a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. He didn't mean that quite as, like, harsh is what he said, you know? So, anyway, he takes pride in the fact that sometimes he's not as nice as other people.
Well, I would just say they're both principled people.
Yes, it's very black and white.
Yes, principled mm-hmm. people.
Yes.
And... Probably for our great benefit because sister, you and me on our own, I don't know.
There's a lot of people pleasing.
We'd be in some messes.
Yeah, he brings me back around to what do you care? And I'm like, oh, I guess I don't. All right.
Yeah. Give us a little backbone.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Some humility. Uh huh.
Yeah. Or if it's this. Well, and then that happened, and then it really hurt my feelings. Why do you care? Why'd that hurt your feelings? They're an idiot. That shouldn't hurt your feelings. And you're like, oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a good word. Thank you. So, anyway, it all, but see, but that's what marriage is. It balances it out.
I know. And I would say, like, sometimes you're that person for me too. Like, you know, when I'm upset about something and you'll get fired up about something somebody else has done in places that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, nothing delights David more than when he hears a reaction from you or from another friend where somebody sort of leaps to my defense. Like,
yes.
Like, I feel like if there's anything in his life that makes him want to just stand up and salute and, mm-hmm. like, that kind of stuff fires him up. He loves some fierce loyalty like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a fan. I like the fierce loyalty. And that's where Perry will never waver. They are fiercely loyal. Mm-hmm. And so I'll give him that. So, and he's made me. I mean, I think that's it. I'm a little bit, I have a little more backbone than I used to.
Yeah.
So I'm not as nice as I used to be.
I feel like there was something today where I felt like, you know, if it had happened, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I would have been a wreck. And today I was like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's just kind of, I don't know. And then I think it's getting older too, where you're like, yeah, well, it's all fine.
That's for sure.
It's all going to be fine. So.
Okay. So I had another question for you because I went to Trader Joe's. What night was that? I think Monday night.
Yes.
And because I had some time to kill, like I was at lacrosse practice and I could have gone to the closest Publix, but it's not my Publix. Mm-hmm. And you know how that can be very disorienting and troubling,
yes,
when you're,
yes,
in your store, but it's not your store.
Yeah. I hate that.
And so I thought, well, I'll run up to Trader Joe's and just get some stuff, you know, for the week or whatever, because I've got to go out of town tomorrow. David is so fine. Like, if I leave some Trader Joe's stuff that he can just heat up or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, so anyway, I went to Trader Joe's and I ran into some friends and we were kind of talking about different things, but I have really, like, you were the one, you told me about the Trader Joe's, that potato dip thing, or what's it called?
Oh, the bacon cheddar ranch dip.
The bacon cheddar ranch dip. Right. Which kind of directed me. I never really paid a lot of attention to Trader Joe's, like chips and mm-hmm. whatnots or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel like they've got a really strong chips snack selection there.
I agree. I mean, I feel like that's primarily what I buy at Trader Joe's, or more almost the snack stuff and the cookie stuff than the real food stuff.
I don't feel like their crackers are as strong as they could be.
No, no, I don't. Now, listen, I haven't told you about these crackers.
Oh.
Because I know you're not trying to eat, or you're trying not to eat gluten.
Mm-hmm.
But Cheez-Its has a new cracker called a Groove, the Cheez-It Groove.
Alex loves the Grooves.
I think they are was that music that started playing when we said
that
Groove?
That was my Hamilton group me.
Oh, okay.
That was one of the girls who graduated this past year who sent a link about Hamilton. So
it was a nerd alert.
It was a nerd alert, essentially, is what that was. If you hear that sound, that's a nerd alert.
I thought, God, music's going to start playing. You know how when somebody starts saying something inspirational at church and the pianist starts? I thought that's what was happening with the Cheez-It Groove.
Coming in behind with some accompaniment.
Cheez-It Groove.
Just as I am. Mm-hmm.
They are my favorite, like, new snack cracker discovery of the summer.
Is it which one? Is it the ranch ones or the other ones?
Just the straight up, like, sharp.
Straight up groove.
Straight up groove. I like a straight up groove. But they're thin. And so they have more of the texture of a potato chip.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They're not thick like a cracker. I really think they're good. They don't feel as heavy or as greasy as a normal Cheez-It, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. have cheese flavor. So I know that got us off of. But anyway, so all that to say, I don't know that I've ever bought a cracker at Trader Joe's just because I've never liked their selection.
Yeah, I feel like Trader, and I will say, if you are trying to eat gluten-free, or if you prefer to eat gluten-free, mm-hmm. That they don't have, that's not their wheelhouse. Now, I bought Monday, because I thought about you, I bought, it has a real pretentious name, but just know, it was a tortilla chip.
Yes.
But it was a quinoa and black bean infused.
Oh, of course.
Tortilla chip, which I appreciated that we're going to use the word infused with our tortilla chips. I feel
with
like.
A chip. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're
but
now.
They're delicious. Delicious. Okay. And I got they have a chipotle bean dip, which I don't know if that's gluten-free or not. I just told myself, well, it's beans. It's fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
That's really good, too.
Okay, okay. I like those Marcona almonds at Trader Joe's with the rosemary on them. I think those are delicious.
An almond. I mean,
yes. I know. It's hard to beat. I like the dark chocolate almonds.
I love the dark chocolate almonds to my complete and utter dismay. I love them.
Now, I will tell you that, you know, I like to do their orange chicken, and I get their chicken fried rice or whatever, but they were out of that, so I bought this Japanese fried rice.
I saw that.
I'll tell you, it was disgusting. It was one of the grossest, like the whole thing. Speaking of microwave smells, I mean, it made my whole kitchen smell like seaweed.
Oh.
And it, in all fairness, it said it had seaweed in it, but I didn't really like it.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was going to make my kitchen smell like the beach.
Yeah, thought it was just a suggestion of seaweed.
Yeah, I thought it was a hint of seaweed. I didn't know it was like, no, they straight up put some seaweed in this.
Okay. Now, I bought chicken fried rice this past time. David really likes their beef and broccoli.
Yeah.
And so I got that. I got one of their lasagnas, which I've never tried, but I just got it.
Okay.
I got a pizza for Alex to try. But I'm telling you, like, their chips and their popcorns, I mean, like, top of the line, I feel like.
Okay. I need to. I think, to me, like, and these aren't Trader Joe's, I love the On the Border tortilla chips. I think are just about the best tortilla chip you can buy.
Okay. You know, my sister always buys the On the Border tortilla chips. You know, I always buy the Mission strips.
Well, I was on that. That's what I bought for years and years and years. But I've decided I like On the Border better.
Okay. You've moved on.
I've moved on. The On the Border tortilla chips, I think, are the best. And like when people come over, they're like, what kind of chips are these? I'm like, they're On the Border. And I feel like in San Antonio, we know a good chip.
I think you're right.
There's
one chip, they have them at Fresh Market and they have them at Publix now. And they're, I mean, like the name of them is Spanish and I can't think of what it is. It has like the word for corn. Is that maize? Like it has that in there and they're real thin. Delicious. Those are delicious. They're pricey, but they're delicious.
Okay.
So like when it's summer like this, I know you're sleeping till 10.
Yeah.
So when you get ready for something resembling lunch, maybe around 3.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What are y'all doing for lunch?
We've kind of just been doing a mix of stuff. Like, well, and you'll laugh about this. So I got lunch. I was like, we need lunch meat so that we know we've got stuff to make sandwiches and all that kind of stuff. But Caroline's like me to where we both tend to just kind of snack all day during the day.
Yeah, you can nibble.
But I, when I was using, so, you know, we've got Shipt here now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I had Shipt I was like, I want thin sliced ham, like boar's head ham from the deli, whatever. Well, here's what I've realized with Shipt. I don't know. I just buy what I buy and I don't pay attention to, like, I mean, I pick up a pack of lunch meat and I'm like, this seems about right. So I put on my deal that I needed about 1.5 pounds of ham.
Oh my word.
Yeah. I mean, that was enough.
You just got a lot of ham, sister.
So I had no idea. And I mean, it was like $15 worth of ham.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, we'll never eat this. So I really forced for a while we were eating ham and eggs and, you know, ham sandwiches and whatever. Caroline and I both have now, I've gotten, our neighbors have fresh cucumbers from their garden. Mm. So I've been like slicing those up and doing carrots and we both like hummus. And so we'll eat like that for lunch or a ham sandwich because we have a lot of ham.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll just eat like some grooves in a Diet Coke. I mean, you know, like
some straight up grooves.
Some straight up grooves with a Diet Coke. I'm just not a real, I mean, sometimes I'm in the mood to fix myself a sandwich, but we just kind of tend to just, and then I'll make like popcorn. I mean, we just, I don't know. We just aren't big. And then dinner, because Perry never comes home for lunch and he works. So he always wants, like, he usually just eats like a granola bar or something on the job site while he's working. So he always wants a big dinner. So during the day, we don't really mess a lot with, we just eat different snacks or whatever we have around.
My friend Heather does this thing where she gets like she'll go get like Kaneka sausage, which is an Alabama sausage, but like she'll go get Kaneka sausage and crackers and then she'll cut up carrots and celery and cucumbers and peppers or whatever. And she'll cut up all that stuff, a whole bunch of it one day. She'll make some ranch dressing, get some hummus or whatever. And then at lunchtime, she has two teenagers. She'll just put all that stuff out. Almost she kind of like makes a little, almost like a little charcuterie kind of that tray thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's brilliant for lunch. So when I went to Trader Joe's, I got pepperoni and that good white cheddar cheese they have, and just stuff like that, just so we can kind of, you know,
yeah,
I don't know. You can make yourself a wrap. You can make, you can have some vegetables and some dip. You can,
Yeah, that's, we kind of do a lot of that, because, like, I thought out, like, we have, like, some dried, like, elk sausage and, like, these, like, little, like, beef jerky sticks and, like, so just a lot of that kind of stuff, just more than, like, a true, like, set lunch.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't necessarily want to be anywhere near a stove in the summertime at lunchtime.
Yeah, no, I don't either. I mean, that's just not going to happen. And really, even dinner, I don't like spending a lot of time, you know. I mean, I don't like to slave over the stove in the summertime.
Okay, so you have been, this is a different subject, but so you've gotten all wrapped up in Parks and Rec.
I've gotten all, Caroline and I are watching Parks and Rec. That's become our nightly thing. Like, we, Perry goes to bed and she and I stay up and watch Parks and Rec.
So how far into it are you?
We're like season 4.
Okay.
Yeah, and I adore it. I can't even tell you, like, there's so much. Like, I knew that, like, Treat Yourself was from Parks and Rec,
yes,
but now I have a full appreciation for it. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
there's been so many, like, little references where I'm like, that's where that came from. You
it
know?
Has enriched your pop culture vocabulary, you feel
for
like?
Sure. Yes. And, like, I love, like, Rob Lowe's character, because he's always like, this is literally the best thing that has ever happened. Like, it just, it tickles me to no end. So
that is probably David, that's probably David's all-time favorite show.
Yeah, it's so good. I can't believe it's taken me so long to watch it, and I can't believe I didn't watch it while it was on.
Hey, I've only seen just a couple of episodes. I've never watched the whole thing. Like,
well, you would love it.
I think I would. I think it's, when there's a show like that and there's a lot of seasons,
mm-hmm,
just, you know, I can, like anybody with a big goal, I can get a little overwhelmed. I can get a little overwhelmed. I want to do it well. I want to watch it well.
I agree, and I think that's what kind of, because it's like 7 seasons, but you have to remember each one, it's kind of like each episode's only 20 minutes long, so it's not like watching, it's not like when I committed to like The West Wing
or
The Good
Wife.
Wife.
Yeah, The Good Wife, you know, was a huge commitment,
it's
I feel
a big
like.
Commitment, and really, I didn't even follow through because I'd heard the last season wasn't good, so it's like I ended it when I ended it, and that was it.
I will tell you that, what happened with The Good Wife this last season was that it was a show that didn't know who it was anymore, which I had kind of felt that way after, I don't want to spoil anything,
yes,
but after there was a big, huge event in season 6.
Yes.
And I kind of felt like, is that season 5? Season 6?
Yeah.
Whichever. After that, I kind of felt like it was a show trying to find its way.
Yes.
And so this last season, to me, it felt like a bunch of different shows. And it was really like the last 5 or 6 episodes where it started to feel like The Good Wife of yore.
Oh, okay.
But it was like they couldn't, but I will say, like, by the end, and you know my thing about this,
mm-hmm,
by the end I felt like Alicia, mm-hmm, was a really unlikable character. And and I don't know why we have to do that to everybody. Like, why can't we just have some likable people in our stuff? I think we talked about this last time, but
yes. Anyway. Yeah. I think that's why I'm loving Parks and Rec so much, because mm-hmm, it's that same thing. It manages to do the same thing that The Office did, which is you have characters that you end up really rooting for.
They're like endearing.
Amy Poehler is Leslie Knope. Like, she's such a dear person that, like, as quirky as she is, like, you want to see her life work out. And, like, she's got a best friend in the show. And I feel like it's a great example of, like, a true supportive, like, girl friendship, you know, like a female friendship. And I love that. Like, they really are for each other, and they love each other, and it's not stupid, and it feels, you know, some of them, mm-hmm, I feel like some of those, and it's not in the show, this doesn't spoil anything, but like where I am right now, like neither one of them are married, so they're both just these single women, and so like just how they look out for each other, and like it's not just them, you know, I feel like some of those sitcoms, it's just two like housewives sitting around just like talking about how dumb their husbands are or
right,
something, but this feels like their conversations, I'm like, oh, this is real. These are real conversations I would have with a friend.
Well, I need to add that to my lineup.
Yeah, you would like it. It's a good, but I'll tell you, it is just my reading has come to a standstill.
It has.
Yes, because I don't know what happened. Gully and I both, we went out last night and we both said, we both picked up books that we cannot, like, we were on such a reading kick, and now I've kind of like, and I'm reading Heartburn by Nora Ephron, which I think is exactly what I was reading this time last week. And it's good, but I just can't, I think because I know the story since I've seen the movie, I can't get my, I'm not as motivated to pick it up.
Yeah, I get that.
It's not, I feel like I need to pick up like a suspenseful, like a page turner.
I get that.
Yeah.
My thing with the suspenseful page turners, because I was kind of, after the last book I finished, I was kind of in the mood. I thought, oh, I would like something like with the CIA mm-hmm. and Washington and something like that. But the last couple of things I've read about that, like in that sort of genre, uh-huh. again, have been so dark.
Yes, yes. So, and I don't want dark either. I need something funny.
I know. I want something that's, I don't know. I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit of a weird time for fiction.
Yeah, I know. So I'm all that to say, there's just nothing. I've got a couple of things waiting on me that I'm like, maybe I need to just put down Heartburn and start something new. But
that's what I was going to ask you. Can you put down? Can you just put down a book before you finish it and start something else?
Not usually. It kind of kills me to do that, but I may have to do it because I want to keep reading. You know, like I like to read a bunch of books in the summer. Yeah.
Well, it's just, you know, again, sometimes it's just nice to have something that's a little lighter.
Yes, yes, just not quite. Yeah, I'm not interested in reading anything heavy right now. I'm all about light. The world seems heavy enough.
Yes, that sounds like a song. Is that a song?
I don't, it could be.
I think that might be a Hamilton lyric or close.
The world seems heavy enough.
No, I was just thinking the world is wide enough is the Hamilton lyric. But
okay.
But still, we could still sing and change the lyrics if we wanted to.
Yes.
And make it fit.
We could.
So speaking of, that's, you know, I'm going to New York Monday.
I know. I can't believe it's already here.
I know. I will spare you as much as I can of my post-Hamilton just nerded up enthusiasm.
Well, I'm interested to hear. I want to know. Listen, we all have our things.
We all have our things. I know.
And listen, you're not alone. I mean, Hamilton, it's a craze that has swept the nation. So clearly, you know, I'm the one who's missing out because I'm not up on it.
But
you know?
are you too? The question is, are you to a level with Hamilton like I eventually got to with Titanic and The Blind Side where you're like, nope, I'm out.
I may be.
I wondered. See, that's why I don't want to exhaust you with more of that than is, this is my phone, I think.
Okay.
Then it's really necessary because I think I know how I feel when people start saying like, oh no, but you really need to watch this because, and they start giving me all the reasons and I'm like, you know what? I'm grown. If I wanted to watch it, I would.
Well, and now I'm like, well, the original cast, they're leaving and the tickets are so expensive and it's in New York and it'll just be one of those things that, you know, I'll see it like 20 years from now, like Phantom of the Opera. And then I'll be like, can y'all believe that Hamilton musical? And everybody will be like, yeah, we saw it 20 years ago.
Well, I think you may find more joy in just saying like, nah, not for me.
Yeah.
Not for me. Being a holdout.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, but then it's like with Parks and Rec where I'm like, well, I missed out on this when it was coming around the first time. You know, there's like cultural phenomenons that I feel like part of me, like, on Sunday night, everybody was talking about Game of Thrones. Oh my gosh, Game of Thrones. And I was like, I can't even, there's nothing in this that looks remotely appealing to me, yet I'm intrigued by everybody being so fascinated. Like, what, am I missing something? What is it?
I know, like, I've never seen Game of Thrones. And you know, honestly, like, I'm not gonna, because that's not my thing at all.
No.
You know, we're gonna fight with axes and stuff. Like, I don't wanna watch anybody fight with axes. There was a Seth Meyers, like a little skit that he did. I guess it was on his show where it was like a dinner party. And then it cut to one of the Game of Thrones guys was like the guest at the other end of the table.
Uh-huh.
And you could kind of get a feel for what the vibe of the show is. And the skit was hilarious. But I was like, no, that's not for me.
I can pretty much figure out pretty quick if a show is going to be for me or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If it has zombies, no thank you.
No thank you.
If it is like Outlander, like I read the first Outlander book and I really liked it, I will have to say, like at that time, which I mean, I think, I don't remember when I read it. It was years and years ago because I know people love the Outlander. So when the TV show came on, I was like, oh, I'll watch it. But I was like, I can't understand what they're saying. Like I was like, I feel like my grandma, but I can't understand them. Their accents, the volume changes too much on it. So I'm out on this.
What is Outlander? I don't even know what that is.
Outlander is a series of books by Diana Gabaldon, I guess is how you say it, right?
Okay. But what is it? I don't know. I know now, but like, I don't know what it's about.
It's about Claire and Jamie, and she time travels from, like, she's like a nurse in like World War II, the 1940s in Scotland, but okay. Somehow she, like, I don't remember the whole thing, but somehow she hits her head on a rock or she goes into a cave or whatever. And
one of those two.
Yeah, something like that. Something happens. And somehow she wakes up and she's in like 15th century Scotland. And she falls in love with a character named Jamie, who's like a Scottish warrior or something like that. And it's their love story. And so it sounds like you're like, I mean, if you're like me, you're like, time travel, what? I'm out. Check, please. But yeah. It is, I do have to say, it's really good. But I read the first one, and there's a series of like 8 of them. But that to me was like, I mean, I think one of them is like 600 pages. And I was like, I can't read 8 different books with 600 pages each. Like, I'm not that invested in what happens with them.
That's a lot. I would say that's a substantial commitment of time.
Yeah. But people love them. I mean, like, people love The Outlander. And I mean, and I did really like the first one, but I was like, I can't get on I think I read the first one when Caroline was probably like 4 or 5. So it was like, this is way too much of a time commitment for me to continue to read books of this length. I get the gist, you know, like she's torn between these two times and these two men, and somehow she goes back and forth depending on what's going on. I don't know.
And I think that was probably a point in our lives when we were very busy reading the Left Behind series, don't you?
Yeah, I was reading a combination of the Left Behind series and then on the other end of the spectrum, the Shopaholic series.
Oh, the Shopaholic series. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. And Bridget Jones' Diary.
Yes, all that. Yes, that was all in that.
You know how I told you the other day or last week, I was like, okay, for my next book, I want it to be somebody who lives in New York, who is very successful, but looking for love or something like that.
Yes.
Like I wanted that specific kind of book. Mm-hmm. I was having a little bit of a flashback to like the Bridget Jones Shopaholic books that were just sort of simple I mean, they were funny, but they were really just little love stories.
Yeah, you could just read them and they were fluffy. And I think that's maybe what I'm wanting right now is I just want something fluffy and light. I don't want anything like I've been reading descriptions on Amazon trying to find it. If it starts with, you know, like Susie and Joe were on a beach vacation and a dark mystery from the past reappeared. I don't want that.
Like, I don't either.
I see like a dark intrigue, mystery, whatever. What I want is like Susie and Joe were on the beach and there were some hot guys there and one of them was swept up into a romance and taken to New York to go on a shopping spree. Like that.
Yes.
Feel free, somebody, to write that.
Sure. So what we're saying is it's not super discriminating, really, what we're looking for. It's not necessarily... Highbrow is not really what we're after.
No. I don't want Friends and one of them reveals that her husband's been having an affair. I don't want any of that. I just want straight up, like, feel good.
Fluff.
Yes. I want like, the Notting Hill of a book right now.
Oh, that would be so good.
Mm-hmm.
Anymore. Like, we don't have movies like that anymore. You know what I mean? We don't have...
No. Gully and I were going to go see a movie because we found out our movie theater down the street serves wine now. So we were going to go see a movie.
There's a book.
Two friends off to the movies discover that there is wine available at the concession stand to go with their popcorn.
They return many times.
Yeah, but we looked. I was like, do you want to go see a movie? And she was like, yeah. I was like, since the quarry serves wine. So we were like, yeah, let's do that. But then I was like, the only thing both of us wanted to go see is Finding Dory, which doesn't feel like what you need to go drink wine.
Yeah. Hey, kids.
All the toddlers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch it. But they had another movie. I'm like, I don't care. There's not another movie out right now that I care about seeing.
I'm with you, sister. You know me in the movies. It just, there was a turning point at some point where it all got either way too earnest or way too dark for me. I need, like, When Harry Met Sally, just, you know, I can watch When Harry Met Sally. I can watch When Jim Bob Met Ruth.
I'm just a girl standing in front of a movie theater asking you to come up with a good movie. Like, I just want to see two people fall in love that are an unlikely pair. Yes. But after madcap hijinks on a road trip,
they overcome all odds and realize that they're... Hey, it's like that Christmas when I watched The Proposal over and over and over and over.
Yes, yes. I need that. That's what I want. I was like, I just want that kind of a thing. And if it ends up where somebody ends up being a prince in secret and she becomes a princess because they fell in love, even better. Mm-hmm. That, even better. That's my book genre right there.
Yeah, me too. Okay.
Yeah. If it involves some sort of thing where she gets a makeover and her wardrobe becomes fabulous, like AKA Devil Wears Prada,
yeah.
Even better. I even like that.
Even better.
Yeah. Yeah. So any type of Cinderella type story is what I'm after.
Okay. Well, we're like mind of that.
Mm-hmm.
I went back and looked through some of the Facebook questions that people left last week.
Yes.
So do you want to answer a few of those as we wrap up?
Are you game? Right. Yeah.
I'm just going to do these in no particular order as they appear on the screen.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the first one. Is there a food? What's a food you hate so much you can't even look at it?
Oh, I don't know. What would you say?
I don't know. I mean, I'm struggling right now. I'm struggling. My thing is, it's like, I don't like cantaloupe, but I especially can't look at cantaloupe once you cut it open. I don't like
the
all
pods and the seeds and stuff.
Yeah, like, I don't necessarily, I'm not a big pumpkin person, but I can't look at the inside. With me, it's more like whatever their natural state is, I can't. Spaghetti squash, out. Like, yeah. I can't do that thing where there's a food and then you cut it open and, hey, there's a surprise texture in here.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. See, that does not bother me. I would be more like certain casseroles. If you get me a casserole that has some like bits of something green and some water chestnuts, done. Cannot. Kung Pao chicken with those peanuts in that sauce.
Now we're getting into your Chinese food issues.
Can't do it. Can't do it. That would be more like that kind of stuff. Some sort of casserole of, like, I always remember Gully and I get real tickled because Nina, I think I even wrote about this in one of the books, but she one time made this. It was like a veg-all casserole.
Mm-hmm.
And she had made it, and it was kind of towards the end of her life. So there were questions as to how long she'd even had those cans of veg-all.
Yes, ma'am.
Covered in something, and so you could see, but it was like those carrots that aren't really carrots and peas that aren't really peas and and some sort of sauce. I can't, no, something like that would be gross me out.
So maybe if somebody wants to do something nice for you in a time of need, maybe lay off the casserole.
Not a casserole. I don't want a casserole. I prefer to see, like, I mean, now some, like, I like a chicken spaghetti casserole.
Yeah.
You know, like that kind of a thing. But I prefer, normally, I like to have my meat and then my vegetable and then maybe a starch, and I like them all to be separate.
But you don't eat them separately, do you? Like, you don't care if they touch, do you?
No, I don't care if they touch. Okay. I just like for them to all be, like, distinguishable foods on my plate.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah,
I would say that's typically kind of how I cook. I like to make different things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to make a lot of casseroles.
Yeah.
I think mainly because I just burned us out on them when we first got married.
Yeah. And there's some that don't bother me. Like, I make one that's like a Mexican casserole that's like ground meat and like tortilla chips and cheese and some beans. And like, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't like it when it's got a bunch of stuff in it. And like, if you take a bite in it and like you, it's like a water chest, it's like, like, I can't, and you don't know what it is. Ugh.
Yeah, I love like chicken divan, which is kind of a casserole, but it's not because it's more like a chicken broccoli lasagna situation. But that didn't bother me at all.
Ugh. I can't. No.
Okay, here's another question. make that water chestnut noise again.
It's like, let's, makes my back teeth hurt.
all right. This question is, what are the top character traits you admire in a person? She says mine are empathy, humility, modesty, sincerity, loyalty, and diligence. What are yours that you like to see in people?
Loyalty, I think, is a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Funny is a big one for me.
Maybe. Yes. believe that one's mentioned. That's the fruit of the spirit, isn't it? Isn't that one of them?
Funny. It should have been. It should have been. Loyalty. Okay. Uh-huh. And funny. Uh-huh. And then I think just kind. I think mm-hmm. kindness. Kindness and funniness covers over a whole...
Yeah. Listen, you can forgive a world of hurts.
You can. You can. But I need my friends to be funny. I just do. People I enjoy being with. And you don't have to be funny all the time, but I like funny. But here's the difference. I don't like mean funny. So maybe that is a fruit of the spirit. I don't like mean funny. I don't like funny.
You like witty. You like quick and witty.
Yes, that's it. Thank you. That's yes. What are yours?
Loyalty's my number one. The absence of arrogance. I don't enjoy arrogance at all. Mm-hmm. I also enjoy funny. Loyalty, absence of arrogance, which I guess really is humility. And I don't know how to say this, but I also like people. I like people whose yes is yes and their no is no.
Yes.
Whatever you call that. What is that? Is that principled?
Yeah, I would say that's principled.
It's not that I can't get along with people who aren't, but there's something in me, and maybe it's because I can be such a noodle when it comes to things. I am so drawn to people whose yes is yes and whose no is no.
Yes, I agree. So, like, just integrity. I think that's like, is it character and integrity? Yeah. Like
I'm super, like, I feel like that is one thing, if you look at my close friends that they have in common, is it's like I'm the noodle who has surrounded myself with people with backbones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think, I really, like, there's something about that that just delights me. People who really know what they believe and why they believe it and who stick with it. That's, that's big with me.
I agree with that. Well, and that's funny because that goes back to, like, Perry. I was just telling Gully that last night. I said, like, that's why I can live with him, because it really, I find comfort in, like, there's no middle. And there are times that it can drive me crazy.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
But it does not bother me. I would rather I would take somebody with some strong opinions any day over somebody who's like, I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. What do you think we should do? I like people just make a decision.
That's fine. I had lunch with my friend Casey, and we're going to New York together. And she said, because her husband has made a lot of our reservations for this trip. Like mm-hmm. He kind of knew what we wanted to do. And she said that he had said, I hope Sophie doesn't care. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, mm-mm. I love a decisive somebody who'll just come in and say, like, okay, here's what it's going to be. Like, that for me, that is a delight.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's like, because like last night, Gully and I couldn't decide where we wanted to go eat. And we were going back and forth. And I thought, see, I even like somebody, unless they say Chinese food, but I like somebody to say, here's where I want to go. Yep. Like, let's go here. Like, I don't like that. I don't care wherever you want to go. Blah, blah, blah. I just make a decision.
Sometimes
I'll even say, because that's not really my thing. I'll be like, I don't care where we go for dinner. I just don't want to decide where.
That's it. I say that once a week. I don't care. You pick.
Yeah. I don't want to decide. So that's it.
So basically we are abdicators who like other people to make decisions.
Exactly.
But by the same token, I feel like when it comes to stuff with me, you are super decisive. Like, I feel like if I said, I can't see, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, you'll say, okay, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you what.
Yes. And I think you do the same. Mm-hmm. So there's a time, but I think sometimes you can't see your own situation as clearly as somebody else can.
Right.
This is what you need to do.
That's true. Okay. Last question says, let me find one. Okay, these are favorite baby names you would use if you had more children.
Oh.
I haven't thought about baby names in a while.
In a long time. Mm-hmm. I would still go classic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like, I'd always thought if we'd had another girl, I think she would have been Kate. That was even before Princess Kate. It would have just been Kate. And maybe I would have named her Catherine, but it would have always been that she would be Kate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that would have been my... And then if we'd have had a boy, it would have been Charles Perry, because Charles is my dad, and then Perry is obviously my husband, and we would have called him Charlie.
I love Charlie for a boy. That's one of mine that I would have probably wanted to use.
Mm-hmm. And I've never met a Charlie. Have you ever met a Charlie that you didn't like?
So likable.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my dad does not go by, some of his friends call him Charlie, but he's always more of a Charles, but that's what we would have named a boy.
I like Henry for a boy too. Again, just classic names, but Henry. I actually kind of wanted to name Alex Henry, but I did not. Yes. Or we did not, which is why there was no Henry. So I like Henry. I like Charles. And then for a girl, I think I would have probably named a girl, probably Lucy after my grandmother.
Oh, I love that.
Or, I've always loved the name Mamie, even though it's not a family name. I just love the name. I love the name Lillian. I love the name Evelyn. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea of having, like, Martha's name is Martha Claire. And I love the idea of having a little Martha Claire.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think I have a feeling that if I had ever had a Martha Claire, she would have been so prissy. That
Yes.
Martha Claire, you're going to be pretty prissy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to live up to that name.
Yeah, you are. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I think I love those old names. I think that's, mm-hmm. I would have gone in that direction still.
Yeah. The only name I always really liked, and I don't know where I saw this, but we used to always, there's a little town in South Texas we used to pass on the way to the ranch, and it was called Campbellton, and I always liked the name Campbell.
I like the name Campbell.
And I don't know if I liked it for a boy or a girl, maybe either, but that's probably the most non-traditional name that I always thought was really cute, was Campbell.
I think Campbell's a cute name.
Mm-hmm.
I like it too. Boy or girl, it's good.
Yeah, either way. But now, I just have to name a dog or a fish or something.
Right, yeah.
Not a chicken.
Hey, you saw those eggs I posted on Instagram, didn't you, yesterday? If I could have shipped them to you, I would have.
They were, that was the prettiest thing I've ever seen. I'm guessing they cost like $12 a dozen.
You know, it's funny because I did not look at the price. I did not buy them. I just saw them, took a picture of like a crazy person in Fresh Market, and then put them back in their proper place.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to look the next time I'm in there to see how much they are.
I think I would get them. Here's what I would advise you. I would get them just for that carton, and then I would just keep that carton forever and just buy new eggs and put them in that carton.
Just fill them up with Eklund's Best.
Yeah. Just kind of because that carton in my refrigerator would make me so happy. That's one of those, if I were Yolanda on Real Housewives of the OC, remember when she had that glass refrigerator? I would have those eggs in my glass refrigerator.
Yes, ma'am.
So everybody could see. Here are my
expensive. You know, I've almost, at different points in time, I've almost bought those egg holders or like containers that are mm-hmm. ceramic, like you find, they're like Williams-Sonoma or wherever. And then I think about the conversation that I would have the first time that David went to the refrigerator in need of an egg. You know what I mean? But I like the idea of eggs, especially like some multicolored eggs being sort of a decorative element in the refrigerator.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because they're so pretty.
Pretty.
I know. That was, that was Caroline when she tried to get me on the chickens. It was like, but Mom, look, this one lays blue eggs and this one has pink eggs. And I was like, oh, I love that. But then when you read further under all the descriptive language, you find out that really they don't start to lay eggs till they're a year old.
Time with chickens.
Well, chickens will never make it. They aren't going to make it a week at our house, mm-hmm. much less a year. And it's like my dad said, any chickens we get, they don't lay eggs when they're stressed out. And we would have the most stressed out chickens.
Not to mention a stressed out Mabel. I mean, can you imagine what she'd do with chickens?
The stress.
The frantic, like, urgency that Mm-mm. she would.
To get to the chickens mm-hmm. that she would be tunneling over, and we would have possums and rats and everything else trying to, I mean, those chickens would be the most hunted thing. They would have to be so Xanaxed out that they just didn't do anything. So they would never lay eggs. So that was the end of, I didn't feel any need to explore the chickens past that point.
Golly.
I know. But the good news is she has since dropped really top. Perry was like, that was pretty short lived. And I was like, yeah, it really was. She kind of dropped it.
Yeah, I feel like chickens at your house would last about as long as a chicken on Survivor.
Yeah.
Chickens on Survivor generally aren't long for the world.
Yeah, that's a chicken on Naked and Afraid. And that's what that chicken would be, Naked and Afraid.
So, I don't know. I feel like probably better know with the chickens.
Yeah, we're not a hospitable environment for chickens.
All right, y'all got anything else going on today?
No, I have nothing else going on today. So I need to do some laundry, and that's about as much as I have. That's about as far as I've planned.
Parks and Rec, maybe?
I may have some Parks and Rec going on. And you know what else has been on that I have recorded and I have not watched yet is the newest O.J. Simpson documentary.
I've been recording it too and I haven't watched yet, but
everybody says it's amazing. And
yeah, that's what I've read. I said it's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did start watching the first one and it's done much more. It's not, I don't know what it is, what the future episodes are, but this one is much more, it's like a documentary. So it's like real footage from like when he got to USC and like the climate of Los Angeles at that time and like the racial division and like how he came in. So it's much more detailed in terms of like just kind of his backstory and all gotcha. That seems like than what the, than the FX one was.
Have you seen at all the Maya and Marty variety show that's coming on this summer?
No, what is that?
It's Maya Rudolph and Martin Short, and they're doing like an old school variety show, like a Sonny and Cher kind of variety show.
Oh, now I could be in for that.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, you remember, was it Neil Patrick Harris who tried to do one last summer?
Yeah.
This one is actually kind of charming because they're both so funny, and they, you know, they can both sing, they can both dance, like they can really... I don't know.
Okay.
It's kind of delightful. And so I don't know that it's necessarily a family show, but it's fun. And so anyway, they did a sketch. I think it was the last one where they were doing like auditions for parts. Mm-hmm. And one of the things was that David Schwimmer came in to audition for the part of Hulk Hogan.
Oh, nice.
And they were like, why is David Schwimmer auditioning for Hulk Hogan? And they were like, well, just the nuance that he brought to the role of Robert Kardashian was just so anyway, they did this whole thing of him going, Juice, come on, Juice.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
It was delightful.
I love it. Pivot.
Okay, well, all right. I'll get this all shined up for us, and then
okay, all right, well, just you keep me posted, I'll be here.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
Okay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, the word got around. They said this kid is insane, man. Took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Get your education. Don't forget from whence you came. And the world's gonna know your name. What's your name, man?
Alexander Hamilton. My name is Alexander Hamilton, and there's a million things I haven't done, but just you wait, just you